122 years. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. It has a heart for Jesus Christ. It has a heart for people. It has a heart for the Word of God. It has a heart for God's ministry. And that's why God has kept this church in this location. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We are thankful that we can come to the house of the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ and worship and bow before Him and praise Him. All adoration is His. We are thankful for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that fills this place that has come from Him, that is in the hearts of these people. A love that is unconditional. A love that is self-sacrificing. A love that meets all challenge with the bravery, the courage, and the boldness given by Jesus Christ. We are thankful to be here. We are thankful for the message this morning in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Father, please give us the understanding that we all need. There is something here that speaks very loudly, very profoundly. There is something that you don't like. We would never have guessed it. We cannot see it. But because you are God, you are all-knowing. And you are all-seeing. And you know everything that takes place in every assembly of God. And I want to thank you for giving this message a long time ago, that we could read it today and be aware of what we would never think of that you don't like. Father, give us the spiritual understanding we need that we may function in the spiritual way that is pleasing unto you in your spiritual kingdom. Thank you for that love once again. May it fill our hearts till our hearts overflow. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The focus will be on a little bit of verse 4. I hope you have something to write with. There are more notes than you have on your printout. Let's begin with the introduction. After commending the Ephesian believers for their admirable qualities, I want to go back to the word believers. I know this is elementary, it seems like, but in the world that we are living in today, we need to make sure that we understand who believers refers to. Believers, they're referred to here, are those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. After commending the Ephesian believers for their admirable qualities, being a diligent, persevering, conscientious, careful, industrious, skillful, and involved congregation, members participating in church ministry, you'll find there was no procrastination. There was no empty promises. They were busy caring for the sick, sheltering the homeless, feeding the hungry, visiting the prisoners, and clothing widows and orphans. Christ also commended them for endurance under extreme hardship, for facing life-threatening challenges against seemingly impossible odds. I want you to understand, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you know that Jesus Christ is God, which means Jesus Christ is all-knowing, He's all-powerful, He's everywhere present and all-sufficient, impossible odds will not be in your Christian vocabulary, because the one that goes before you is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. And since He is creator of all that exists and provider and sustainer of all that has been created, He is sovereign. He is in control of all things all the time. He is the master of all things at all times. So therefore, there is nothing I will ever face that should cause me to fear because of who my Savior Jesus Christ is. For refusing to bow the knee to the goddess Diana, stop there. We, again, do not worship the government. And we will never bow our knees to anything the government asks us to bow to. The only one worthy to be bowed before is God Himself. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Christ also commended them for endurance under extreme hardship, for facing life-threatening challenges against seemingly impossible odds, for refusing to bow the knee to the goddess Diana or the images of the emperor. Jesus proceeded to tell them of a very serious flaw He had seen in their midst. Is Jesus here today? The answer is yes. Is Jesus God? Yes. Therefore, He is all-seeing. Does Jesus know every heart that is here? Does He know every issue that is here today? Why? He is God. Once again, He is all-seeing and all-knowing. Jesus proceeded to tell them of a very serious flaw He had seen in their midst, although they shone so brightly in the areas He had just described. Jesus made it clear that these believers had non-negotiable, no option. They had to heed His warning and repent. Underline that word, repent, please. If you're a church member here, you should know what the word repent means. The word repent in the Greek language is metaneo. Four things I want you to understand about the word repent. Now, as good old Baptist, you've been taught all your life the word repent means to confess your sins. That's not what the word means. Repent, metaneo, first definition. Changed after being with Jesus Christ. If there is true repentance in your life as a Christian, then it will bring about change after being with Jesus Christ. Number two, a change of thinking followed by a changed behavior. Number three, a change of conviction from the inside out. A conviction who is coming about from the Holy Spirit and from the divine persuasion of Almighty God. They're working together as a team. Number four, receiving the Lord's point of view after getting liberated from one's carnal perspective. So when you talk about the word repent, it is unbelief being changed into belief. It is coming to understand what God prefers far and above what I prefer. Let's go back to the printout. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But I, Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, in all His majesty and all of His sovereignty. But I have this charge against you, the believer in Jesus Christ, that you have left your first love. Underline that phrase, you have left your first love. There's two things here. Number one, these believers were experts at ministry. We just read that, didn't we? These believers were experts at ministry. Number two, they were no longer deepening their passion for Christ. So what is Christ saying here? He says we must maintain a proper balance. If we don't, then He's going to come and He's going to visit us. But I have this charge against you, that you have left your first love. If you haven't already, underline that phrase, left your first love. In other words, you stopped appreciating God's love for you, His provision of salvation for you in time and eternity. The Bible says when Jesus Christ went to the cross, He paid our sin debt in full. When it comes to salvation, the issue is not sins. Jesus Christ has paid for them. He did something for us that we could never, ever do for ourselves. And therefore, when it is time to come and believe in Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, we should always remember and never stop remembering that Jesus one day in history paid our sin debt in full. And now we are able to enjoy the salvation He has provided in time and eternity. But I have this charge against you, that you have left your first love. You have lost the depth of love that you first had for me, Jesus Christ. So remember the heights from which you have fallen and repent. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking, your sinful behavior. Seek God's will, which is found in the Word of God. And do the works you did at first, when you first knew me. Otherwise, I will visit you and remove your lampstand. I will remove the impact of the church. I will remove the witness of the church from its place unless you repent. Look at nevertheless. Nevertheless is Allah. It also refers to but in the Greek language. Number one, out of all the outstanding commendations Christ had given to this church, there was one point that was non-commendable. Jesus was so dismayed and disconcerted by this one serious defect. I want you to go back and underline this one serious defect. That He says to those Ephesian believers, I have somewhat against you. Look at what He says, I have is echo. Out of all the remarkable features and everything sounded good, you and I would have said this will make the front page of the Baptist Standard. And everybody's going to have something good to say about this particular church. And Jesus did commend a lot of things that the Ephesian believers were involved in and were doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to remember this phrase, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll come back to it here in just a little bit. So under I have, out of all the remarkable features that made the Ephesian church so outstanding, there was one area where these believers had failed. Underline the word failed and write this as we begin. They had no more a zeal for Christ. They no longer had a zeal for Christ. Secondly, no enthusiastic, diligent devotion. No enthusiastic, diligent devotion. When you think of salvation, thirdly, salvation is giving Christ your head. Salvation is giving Christ your hands, and salvation is giving Christ your heart. They were no longer motivated by the love of Almighty God against you, number one. This means Christ was deeply disturbed by something He knew about this church. The church in Ephesus had everything but the greatest thing. They had left their first love. Page two. Notice the next phrase. He says, you have left. I hope you have something to write with here. Here we go. You have left. When you look it up in the Greek language, it means you did leave. You know what Baptists call that? They call it backsliding. You slipped away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you've abandoned Him for a brief while. I don't know about you, but I ask myself how often I abandon the Lord Jesus Christ as a child of God. Not just one time. Not just twice. Not just three times. But over and over I would abandon Him. I would neglect Him. I would not get into the Word of the living God. I would not have a time of devotion with Him. And I really did not pray. So I guess I would wonder, was I really saved? Had the grace of God really entered my life? Was I appreciative of what Jesus Christ had done on the cross over 2,000 years ago? Was I thankful as I should be that Jesus paid my sin debt in full? Was I very excited about the resurrection, Jesus Christ being raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God? Was I further excited about Jesus ascending to be seated at the right hand of God the Father? Was I really getting excited and did I appreciate Jesus is going to come back? We call that the rapture. And then there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. And then the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to happen at the end of 7 years. And then the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ will begin. Am I excited that I'm going to come back with Him? And I'm going to rule and reign with Him in a 1,000-year millennial? Do I really appreciate the privilege and honor that it is to be a child of the living God? Do I still have a passion for the Word of God? Do I have passion for Jesus Christ? Do I still love my brother and sister in Jesus Christ like I used to? Or is that growing? Do I still love the Lord Jesus Christ like I used to? When I fell for Him, when I was saved, I fell hard. All I wanted to do was go to church. All I wanted to do was read the Word of God. All I wanted to do was witness for the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. I was proud. I was happy. There was a privilege I had never had in my life, and I couldn't wait to share it with others that Jesus Christ would allow to come across the path that I was going to take that day. Let's go back to the printout. You have left. You did leave. Will Jesus Christ ever leave you? Here's what He said. You did leave. You were lacking in deep devotion to Me. And finally, it got the best of you. You're doing things for Me. Stop there. Jesus, aren't you proud of Me? Aren't you proud of what I'm doing for you? Does it make you feel good? It sure makes me feel good that I'm doing a lot of things. You see, Jesus, I came to church this morning for you. Now, I don't know about you, but that really sounds good, doesn't it? I came to Bible study. I came to Sunday school. I came to worship. I opened the hymn book. I sang a song. I heard somebody pray. Now, listen closely. Jesus said, I know what you're doing for Me. But you are no longer doing things with Me. You got your own agenda in church? Where do you go? You want to do your thing in church? Did you ask God if it was His thing? Let me ask you something. When you came to this building this morning we call the church, actually, you're the church. Did you and Jesus come together? Or did you come by yourself? Boy, aren't you excited? You're like a banty rooster in the barnyard. Look what I'm doing for you, Lord. And He said, thanks, son. But you stopped doing things with Me. What does that mean to do things with Me? It means when you get up every morning, He's going to be with you in everything. And everything that gets done, you're going to do it together. So I wonder how many people came to church by themselves and how many came with Jesus Christ. This means the voluntary release of something once held dear. Tell me, when you were saved, how dear was Jesus Christ? Is He still that dear? Do you still love Him with all your heart and all your soul and everything that He has given you and made you out of? Do you love Him that way still? If you get a democratic government that is anti-God, and they say, if you don't do what we tell you to do, we're going to take away your tax exemption. Well, if your preacher can't handle it where you are, you come to Hainesville Baptist Church because we ain't doing it. We're not bowing before the government. We will not worship the government. We will stand for the Word of God. And we will do it at any cost. Again, somebody says, why is this church green? It's boot camp. This is where you get trained by the Word of God. I don't care how high you jump in a music program, it's what you do when you hit the ground. This means the voluntary release of something once held dear, or to neglect, to ignore, or to leave something or someone behind. Please take these notes. Orthodoxy. Adherence to an established faith. Now stay with me. Jesus says, service, church service, church ministry, and orthodoxy are not enough. I thought if I adhered to the Christian faith, that was all that I had to do. He says, not enough. I thought if I got involved in church service and church ministry, that would be enough. So I'm adhering to the Christian faith, and I'm involved in a lot of ministries in the church that I attend, and Jesus says, if you don't start having an intimate fellowship with me, I will remove the impact and the witness of your church. Period. You think you got it made because you're saved? Period. You think you got it made because your name's on the church roll? You think you got it made because you've been baptized? What does it say in Corinthians? Without the love of God in your heart, you're nothing but a clanging cymbal, and your noise is what? It hurts. Without love for Jesus Christ, without intimate fellowship and a deep devotion with Jesus Christ, we are in trouble, Jesus says. Question, did the erosion of this love they had at the beginning happen overnight? Your answer? No. No one suddenly wakes up one morning and says, I don't love Jesus anymore. I'm tired of Jesus and I'm finished with all this Christianity stuff. It doesn't happen like that. It happens over the years, after hardship, questions you can't get answered, trials that don't seem to have reason, loss of health, loss of hope, loss of a loved one. Although the Ephesians were still committed to Christ, get that. They were committed to Jesus Christ. And you and I would say, isn't that enough? Jesus says, no, not only do I want you to commit to me, but I want you and I to have a quiet time of deep, passionate devotion. I want you and I walking together, hand in hand, arm in arm. Thank you for doing things for me. But I want more. I want more than your head. I want more than your hands. I want your heart. They no longer had the deep passion. Underline the word passion. When you look up the word passion, it means powerful appetite. Can I ask you, how powerful is your appetite for Jesus Christ? Not ministry. Not service. But how hungry are you for Jesus Christ? How hungry are you to learn more about Him? How hungry are you to extend that intimate relationship, that it go deeper and deeper and deeper, that no matter what He allows to come into your life, the adversity, the hardship, the trials, the testings, You will look at them and you will smile because in all that I've said, you will see Jesus Christ. Not impossible odds. You'll never say, I can't handle it, we can't do that. Brother, in everything that scares me and casts fear in me, when I have the right attitude and I have the right devotion and the deep conviction that comes from fellowship with Jesus Christ, I will face everything and in everything that you and I think will harm us, we will see the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Did He not walk around in fire? Well, He can walk around in any experience you still have today. Passion, powerful appetite, enthusiasm, fire that is overwhelming. That would scare a lot of Baptists. They no longer had the deep passion and fervency for Him that had once consumed their hearts. They were doctrinally sophisticated, but somehow their love for Jesus slipped away, even though they never stopped faithfully serving Him. You have left your first love. The word love, please circle it. It is the word agape. Agape in the Greek is God's love, and it means what God prefers. What God prefers. When you say, I love Jesus Christ, you're saying, I love what God prefers. And where do you find what God prefers? You find it in the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It is the will of the living God. So the next time you say, I love Jesus Christ, what are you saying? I love what He prefers. Agape is God's love, what God prefers. Listen, love in Scripture is God extending Himself to you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He extended Himself to you. For God so loved the world, He extended Himself to you because you could not extend yourself to Him. You cannot be saved on your own. You can't even come to Him unless He first comes to you. That is the love of God. It is God extending Himself to you where you are, no matter your condition. I don't care if you got tattoos on every earlobe, belly button, right leg, right arm, left leg. Let me tell you, when you come here to Hainesville Baptist Church, we welcome you and we will hug your neck just like everybody else. God is looking at the heart. And when God extends Himself, He's going right for the heart of an individual. Some of these self-righteous Christians, I'm going to stop there before I get going. You have left your first love. First, 10 protein. The word first is protos in the Greek language. Listen to this. What comes first? Jesus says you have left what comes first in your life. Hang with me. What comes first is number one. Who is to come first in your life? I'm sorry. Jesus. Here's what else it says. Is number one. Is Jesus still number one in your life? Thank you. What comes first is number one question. Who has first rank in your life? Please listen. Not your husband. Not your wife. Not your family. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Number one in rank, in honor, and influence. First love or early love. Number two, Jesus says, remember the esteem, the high respect, the awe, the reverence, the admiration, the wonder, and appreciation that was first awakened in your hearts for Christ when you received Him as your Savior. How many of you got saved and you just bawled like a baby? Nothing wrong with it. Brother, when Jesus Christ gets a hold of your heart, what an awesome transformation is beginning to take place. Christianity is a lifestyle to be lived. It is not just something that we read in the Bible. It is a lifestyle to be lived by divine persuasion, and divine persuasion is faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by divine persuasion. And when you're having that intimate fellowship with Christ, you love divine persuasion. Because Jesus is directing you. He's giving you wisdom. He's opening doors that you can't open. That's what it means here. Admiration, wonder, and appreciation. Jesus, I want to thank you for extending your love to me when I wasn't even thinking about it. You brought me under conviction. You awakened something in me that nobody else could, no power in the world could. You awakened in me that I was lost and in need of Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. The house of God should be full every Sunday morning as a result of believers in Christ coming to say, thank you so much for saving my soul, for delivering me from the lake of fire, for saving me in time and in eternity. Thank you, Jesus, that the best is yet to come. And whatever the threat our government or world powers will throw at us, we will stand as believers because we have the captain, and the captain of our army is none other than Jesus Christ. And He is always victorious. They fell hard for Christ in early years. Their hearts were captivated. There were no limits to what they would surrender to Him. No boundaries to their obedience. They were willing to sacrifice or leave behind anything to follow Him. They had received a radical, far-reaching, profound transformation that completely altered their way of sorrows, no regrets, and no reservations. Sold out for Jesus Christ. Why not? Jesus sold out for you on the cross at Calvary. And the hell He went through, the hell you would go through if you died without Christ, He took it, because you and I couldn't. When you leave this place today, I hope from now on you'll begin deepening your intimacy with Jesus Christ. And to Hainesville Baptist Church, thank God for you. And thank God for all the old timers. That did what they did and allowed Jesus to do what He wanted to do through them. This church, I'll say it again, is here because it has a heart for Christ and a heart for people and a heart for ministry. And I'm going to tell you something. We will stand on the Word of the living God. And may God continue to use this church as a lighthouse and a witness, to be salt and to be light. And I got a feeling we're going to learn how to get real salty before it's all over with, and how we need to be that light that's going to shine brighter and brighter for the cause and the witness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave it all. May you give it all. You got it to give. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this church that is not scared of the Word of God. Thank you for this church that takes it seriously. And when taught from the Word of God, they do not discard it, but they ask the Holy Spirit, what I have heard, help me to live it. Help me to be the Christian that Jesus is asking me to be. Help me to appreciate Him more. Tell Him more. Help me to spend quiet time with the Word of God and Jesus Christ and in prayer, that He may strengthen me where I am at and I may help others the same. Father, this is Your house. It's not ours. But thank You that it's on loan for us and those that are to come. Bless this invitation. Use it to Your glory. And thank You for the Word of the living God, for it will never change. Amen and amen.